This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Five oh six on the evening edition. You're with Hezril and Cam, and we're a few hours away from the new year. And most of us are probably either looking back at 2020 or thinking about the new year, or both. You know, what are you hoping for in 2021? Call us at 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio.
Yeah, we're looking back at 2020 as well, yes, as looking forward to 2021. So it's been a bad year, I think we can safely say. Probably one of the worst of the worst years ever. And a tough year for everyone. The pandemic obviously has dominated our lives, and it's thrown up unprecedented challenges and forced us to find new ways of living.
Yeah, but you know, we want to try to look at the silver lining, you know, amid the storm. We want to break that cycle of doom and gloom, and I guess spread some positivity this evening. It's been, like you said, Cam, it's been a tough year. But what's something you look back at in 2020 and think, you know what, I'm glad that happened.
For me, it's not personally, not earth-shaking, but the MCO and everything, I started reading a lot more.
Oh, really?
I didn't want to spend all my time looking at my phone and panicking, and I started reading. And I read a lot of books.
Did you feel more calm, or like, you know, more, just more laid back this year?
The world had kind of stopped, and I wanted to take the time to read books. So I've read a lot of books, mostly the works of Charles Dickens. I've read a lot of his books now, and I'm glad for that. And I want to carry that over into the new year as well.
Well, yeah. So I think you know, as we stayed back, I certainly appreciate spending more time with my family, and I think spending more time with myself, just having more time, more headspace, I think, to process things and you know, not feel so pressured to you know, I guess, keep up with the world as we do in, you know, in past years.
Yeah,
as I've done in past years.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad that my situation is such that these things are possible for me.
That's true.
But there are people, the vast majority of people, in fact, for whom the situation is not really possible, and it's been hell. It's been a hellish year.
And amid that, we've also seen, you know, things like Kita Jaga Kita, which we'll be covering later at 6 p.m., and how, you know, people have come together to try to address a lot of the challenges that have affected, you know, the less privileged, those who, you know, just face, you know, who don't have the space to physically distance in their homes or just get some personal headspace. But, you know, tell us as you start preparing for the new year, whether you're prepping a meal at home, whether you're, you know, looking to head out tonight to dinner, how have you gotten through 2020? As well as what are your hopes for a better year? Again, you can call us at 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. So this hour, in addition to hearing from you, we're also going to get a few perspectives from three different people with three different backgrounds. First up, we'll be hearing from Joe Hasham, who's actually
The voice of BFM. Yes.
Who we hear every day. He's also the founder of the Kuala Lumpur Performing Arts Center, or KL PAC. So stay tuned for that here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9, the business station.
5:12 on the Evening Edition. You're with Hezril and Cam, and we're looking at, well, we're doing both. We're looking back at 2020. And trying to, you know, get, you know, what good things have happened to us back in 2020, but we're also looking ahead to 2021. And, you know, we want to know what your hopes are. And to get some perspectives, we're now headed to the lines to a very familiar voice on BFM, or as Cam says, the voice of BFM, something, you know, someone we hear every day, Joe Hasham, who's also the founder of the Kuala Lumpur Performing Arts Center, or KL PAC. Joe, it's great to hear from you.
Yeah, hi, Hezril. How are you? Hi, Cam.
Hi, Joe. Hello. Full disclosure, by the way, when I first came back to Malaysia, Joe Hasham was my first boss.
Oh,
there you go.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So, Joe,
Well,
2020, just been a very challenging year for many of us. How has it been for you? How do you look back at the year?
Well, I have two huge disappointments in life for 2020, and in no particular order. One of them is the moronic, imbecilic Donald Trump, who unfortunately was allowed or permitted to just run riot with democracy. And I mean, the guy's a buffoon. So that was a great misery. But the upside of that is that in a few weeks' time, he'll no longer be there. Well, at least he won't be running America. The other sadness, a great sadness, is obviously COVID and how it has affected not just the performing arts industry, but industries all over the world, people, individuals all over the world. And, you know, we see these numbers and, you know, unfortunately, guys, when we see these numbers, they're just numbers. But they're not really just numbers. They are people. They are people who have died. In America, we believe they've died needlessly, some of them. So that's a great sadness. The upside of that is that hopefully when we in Malaysia have access to the... what's it called?
Vaccine.
Vaccine, mm-hmm. Yeah. When we in Malaysia have access to the vaccine, things may... Well, we can look for the bright side of the cloud. But that's... They're the two biggest faces that I have as far as
yeah, Joe, we can't use that word on live radio, but you just have, so don't you worry, it's done now.
Okay.
But Joe, can I focus on the arts industry that you just mentioned? And KL Pak, one of the cornerstones of performing arts in KL, Malaysia. How has this year been for the arts industry and for you?
Cam, it's been tough, mate. I mean, Farida and I have really, really struggled this year, as have all of the performing arts people in the country. But KL Pak, because we employ in excess of 40 people, we have an annual outlay, or we have to at least make around about $4 million a year, just to break even so that we don't sink. This year, unfortunately, we have had no business. We haven't been permitted to have shows, or we did have for a very short space of time in the middle of the pandemic where we had a couple of shows, obviously with the proper social distancing and all of that. And surprisingly, people wanted to come and they came. But because we were limited to the number of audiences that we could have in the theatres, it didn't pay off financially at all. But the as much as the finance is important to KL Pak and to the Actors Studio and also to Penang Pak that is suffering, which is part of our organisation, the sadness is that all of our freelance crew members, our freelance actors, our freelance directors and staging people, production people, they have no help. There was nothing there for them. Unlike the people who are employed by us at KL Pak and the Actors Studio in Penang Pak, we have maintained their salaries, albeit we have had to cut down their salaries by a certain percentage, but they are still there. We have not let anyone go. But to sum it up, Cam, it's been a miserable year. But I'm sure you're aware of that. It's been a totally miserable year.
Yeah. It's been a miserable year for many industries, performing arts particularly badly hit. But can I ask then, you know, as we edge into 2021, you know, how you mentioned a vaccine earlier. How much longer do you think that we can hold out for in the performing arts?
you know, a lot of people ask us that, and Farida and I often sit down at night over a glass of wine and try to work out. Farida just laughed because I said over a glass of wine.
just for you, Joe.
Yeah. Just for
not for Farida, obviously.
Not for, of course, yes, yeah. Yes, of course. But I think that 2021, you see, what it requires, Cam, it could be very good if the powers that be, and I hope I'm not saying anything that's going to get you guys into trouble.
It'll get you into trouble, by the way, Joe. We take no responsibility. Carry on.
I don't mind getting into trouble. But it requires the powers that be to pull their heads out of the sand and to realize that the performing arts is an important aspect of our lives in this country. Not just in this country. Practically every other country in the world realizes the importance of the arts, realizes the importance of the writers, of the performers, of the production people, of the actors, of the cinematographers. We as yet have not reached that stage, unfortunately.
Now, looking ahead, Joe, what are your, aside from that, which I think, is very important for the industry, what are your hopes for 2021 and your plans for Kale Pack and someone who's part of the performing arts scene?
Yeah, casual, it's like tossing up a coin and okay, heads we win, tails we lose, or heads we lose, tails we lose, because we don't know what the situation is going to be in terms of the lockdowns that we have. You know, every time there is an extension of the lockdown, and we understand why I am not criticizing the extensions to the lockdowns, but every time there is an extension to the lockdowns, every single performing artist in this country or every single person involved in the performing arts in this country, their hearts sink. They just want to sort of, it gets so stressful and so depressing. But if we wish to look on the bright side of things, we have been very, very fortunate from a personal viewpoint, Kale Pack and the Actors Studio and Penang Pack, we have maintained our sponsors. Our sponsors have been very, very loyal to us. Without them, we honestly would not be here today. There have been many times when we could have gone under, when Kale Pack could have gone under, but because of our sponsors and because of the general public, because when we have put out a call, when we have said we need your help, they have come and they have helped us, and they have sent in their 5 ringgit, their 20 ringgit, their 50 ringgit, their 1,000 ringgit, whatever. But having said all that, it's still not enough. It's still not enough. So is there a bright side to it? I hope so. Farida says yes. She's in the background there. She says yes, there is a bright side. The bright side is, let's hope, God willing, that everything works the way that we all want it to work. And you know, the other thing that both Farida and I mull about often is that we don't understand why certain members of our Malaysian community do not take this COVID thing seriously. I mean, we see so many people not wearing masks, not abiding by the SOPs, I want to go up and strangle them,
Please don't, Joe. Please don't do that.
on that note, Joe, we do hope for the best. Unfortunately, we'll have to head to our next guest before we hit the 5:30 news. Thanks so much for joining us, and we wish you a happy new year. And here's hoping
too,
for
guys.
The best. Thanks
thank
so
you,
much.
You too, everyone, all your listeners. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
Thanks.
That was Joe Hasham, founder of the Kuala Lumpur Performing Arts Center, or Kale Pack, and of course, the voice of BFM. We're now headed to Alicia Nicole, the Secretary General at the Challenger Malaysia. We're checking in on her hopes for 2021. Alicia, it's nice to have you on the line.
Hi, thank you for having me.
All right, so a very different pace here. So looking at politics, you know, it's been a very colorful year in politics and the youth movement. What's one thing you've seen as positive that's come out of this year?
Oh, that's rough. I mean, it's been such a tough year for everyone. But I think what we take comfort in is that there are these tiny little, like, small initiatives that have popped up. I think Kita Jaga Kita has really, like, it's the umbrella movement of, you know, the community coming together to, you know, mobilize to help each other out and solve problems. So you've seen plenty of little hashtags and fundraising efforts that show that, you know, even when times are really dark, Malaysians will stick together and try to make things a little bit better for our fellow Malaysians.
It's been a quite eventful year for you, though, has it not?
It has. It has quite, yeah. A bit of a roller coaster, right?
Yeah. And congratulations on all the work you've done. Can I ask you, though, looking forward, though, to 2020, what initiatives will you be working on and what hopes do you have for this new year?
So I think Challenger will keep doing what it's always done, which is just trying to get the youth more aware and more involved in community building and civic participation. I think constant engagement with all different like sectors of the different youth that have been affected by this year will be really important. We'd like to maybe plan a youth congress sometime next year if everything settles down. And hopes. Well, I have many, many, many hopes, but I guess the key word is recovery, not just for those who are, you know, physically affected by COVID-19, but also like economic and societal and mental and emotional recovery. I think all our psyches have taken a collective battering. Hmm. And then if it's not too much to ask for, some political stability would be nice.
just a quick follow-up to that, Alicia. We've got about a minute left. But, you know, amid, you know, all your work, all your initiatives with the youth, you know, what's the sentiment like? What's the reaction, the attitude like moving into 2021 from what you've seen?
The sentiment would be, I think, one of hope and rebuilding, but also like trepidation because, you know, it's not over yet, but we would like to move forward and build and, you know, try to, I hope Malaysians have understood the value of having like strong, compassionate leadership and that we focus on building that and growing as a nation.
And with that, Alicia, thanks so much for speaking with us this evening and a very happy new year to you.
Happy New Year. Thank you.
That was Alicia Nicole, the Secretary General at Challenger Malaysia. We're getting a lot of messages from you. We are asking you, you know, tell us something positive that has come out from 2020 amid the doom and gloom, amid the challenging times. Call us at 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. So we'll be getting to those after the 5:30 news. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bole for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9, the business station.
5:36 on the Evening Edition. You're with Hezril and Cam. And this hour, we're checking in with people on their hopes for 2021. Also, you know, looking back at 2020, and we've been asking you something positive that's happened to you amid, you know, this very tough year. And we've got some messages from WhatsApp and Twitter. And on Twitter, Amir starts off by saying, got married.
Yep, pretty simple. Yeah. I wonder what the wedding was like, what the SOPs were. Yeah. For that.
I've heard, you know, so a few of my friends have gotten married this year. It's just interesting to see. I think marriages were one of those upsides of this year that I guess I just didn't expect to see as much during the pandemic.
And I bet you saved a lot of money as well. Mm. You didn't have to invite all those people
That's true. I've been hearing a lot of that.
Yeah. James on WhatsApp says, bought a spin bike. Oh. Some light weights, tension bands, changed diet, got fit, reduced alcohol, read a lot, learned some elusive jazz chords from my guitar, edited long-deprived photos, and of course, learned to teach online with mostly success. I am exhausted just reading that list.
Yeah, that's a lot. I feel like I underachieved compared to
James. You put us to shame, right? I hate you.
Yeah. Look at this. Bo says, great, positive for me. Started writing some pointers in personal finance for free. I've done 50 on PowerPoint. I've done 50 slides and believe have the backbone of a book in personal finance. Thank you, COVID. But a serious negative is the state of our politics. Best wishes to Malaysians in 2021. Now, we will get to your other messages. In the meantime, do send them through. Tell us something positive that's happened to you in 2020, as well as your hopes for 2021. Call 7733-2900. WhatsApp 0187... WhatsApp 0187898899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. In the meantime, though, we're checking in with none other than Malik Ali, the founder of BFM Media. Malik, it's great to have you on the show.
On your show.
It's your show, guys. Really nice to see you guys. I miss you guys.
Yeah. So you're in, just for context, you're across the causeway in Singapore. You've been away for a while now, almost a year. I certainly haven't seen you. How has 2020 been for you, and how have you gotten through these challenging times?
Well, surprisingly, I think it's been at a personal level, it's been wonderful. That I commuted pretty much every week from Singapore to KL, and doing that flight and leaving on a Tuesday and coming back on a Friday. So just being home and just, having dinner with the kids is just fantastic. I mean, I think, some relationships like with my daughter, for example, it was the last year with us. She was going to go to Canada. She was going to go to Canada. And our relationship was a little bit frayed, the teenager angst thing, So during COVID, we got over that, right? So, and, now when she left for Canada in early December, I'm like, wow, dad is happy. She's happy. And we've built up that relationship over the 9 months. Again, right? So that was really nice. I will look back to 2020 in terms of family. It was a big plus. I didn't think it would be that way, but there we are. I thought my wife and I would be at each other's throats, but we're not.
can I ask, so you've been in Singapore for about a year now. How has Singapore been coping with it? How has it been being in Singapore?
Yeah, so Singapore has adapted to I hate to use the word new normal, but they have adapted to a certain way where, there is already social norms about how many people you meet. There's social norms about when you're in the supermarkets and all that. So these social norms have developed over the 9 months. I think what came around was that in the early days they were really tough on offenders, right? So you had expats; they didn't care whether you were an expat or not, right? You did not wear a mask and you were fraternizing. They yanked your work permit and off you go back to your home country. So that was just a big message to any sort of freedom loving kind of Western kind of thing here in Singapore. And there was a lot of that. Immediately they just cut that off completely. Everyone just suddenly, Western or Asian, you conform. Because either that, you lose your work permit. So I think they did some really, that's classic Singapore stuff. They used to do that in the 70s and 80s, right? You can't even enter Singapore with long hair in the 70s. So they set an example. And then from then on, people suddenly very, very quickly learned what the social norms are. So I think I've been, I've been going to spin classes every other day. I'm in a class of about seven people. All that's okay. So they are able to do all the social norms. I am having dinner parties and with five other people. So and when I go to restaurants, I can only go with four other people. So these and people generally speaking, not everyone, try to stick within those. There are of course those who flout and they're very strict about it. Restaurants have been closed. So if you allow too many people in your restaurant, that's it. They shut you down for 3 weeks or something like that.
And Malik, how has it been, being in Singapore and making sense of everything that's been happening here in Malaysia? Do you intend on coming back to KL anytime soon?
I think as soon as I get vaccinated, I'm allowed to come back without quarantine. I'd love to do that. In the meantime, I like to enjoy my family life as well. Work has been interesting in the sense that, now I know you guys really don't need me there. we can do by Zoom, but I do miss the company. I do miss the fraternity, and I do miss the socializing in the pantry. I think that's a lot of ideas come out of that. And sometimes our conversations are very, right now, the conversations are very structured. You know, it's like, okay, we talk about this. Okay, time to get creative at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on a Friday. Okay, let's get creative for an hour. And that's it. Move on. Right? Yeah. So it's very structured, even the creativity. So I think one thing I do like about being in an office and then being in an environment like BFM is just that the kind of like, you know, the ideas coming in and you know, we're all sort of playing around with toying with ideas, discussing it, and then, you know, and whatever. So I miss that.
Mm. But looking forwards then to 2021, what are your hopes for 2021? Is there anything in particular that you're looking forward to?
To me, the main thing is work-wise, professional-wise, I guess the 2020 has shown how vulnerable a lot of us are financially to something like COVID. I think the middle class have been squeezed. I think people suddenly realize the lack of even sort of people not having even 3 months of savings, 3 months worth of 3 months worth of, you know, monthly expenses to spend on your, you know, just in case something happens, if you get a pay cut. I think that this realization that, you know, we are quite, as a whole, we are quite vulnerable from a, you know, from a financial viewpoint. I think this is a big lesson from 2020. And I hope that 2021 is when people start to, you know, if they haven't already, start building, putting those building blocks in place to make sure that if anything like this were to happen again, that they have the wherewithal to outlast it, to at least be able to, you know, not panic or have some reserves for which to sort of, you know, draw on. So I think that's the big thing, I think, for me. And I'm right thick in the middle of it with my new venture. After BFM, I started FiLife, which is an online insurance service. But the ethos was, the idea is not just about insurance, it's not just about protection, but it's also about increasing financial wellness and educating about financial wellness. It's interesting. I mean, we're even on the BFM level, you guys might or might not know it, but there are things going in the background. I think BFM is going to do a joint venture, undertaking with the Financial Planning Association of Malaysia to offer financial wellness programs for employees. Right? Mm. So whether you're at, you know, and then breaking them into different levels, right? Those people who just join the workforce. Okay, what do you do with your first paycheck, kind of thing, right? That's your induction. But those also who are kind of like, who have families and kids, now you're at mid-career, you know, what do you need to do for your family? What are kind of things that you can do to improve your financial wellness? So that's coming up in 2021. I'm really looking forward to that project because I think there's, I think after, you know, imagine this, right, guys? After, do you get any financial education at school?
No.
Barely, no, yeah. Virtually, no. Yeah. Virtually none.
You get it at university?
No, not even in university. I mean, we'd actively have to seek it out ourselves, right? I mean, you could, but you gotta look for it.
Or you acted, right? You live. You had. This is your some money that you had to. You have an allowance, and then you had to live on that, right? But so, where at what other point after university do you get a financial education? So,
I tell you exactly when, Molly. It's when you completely run out of money and you're flat broke.
Yeah.
And then suddenly it's like, oh,
I can relate.
I've just had an education.
So, but there is, fortunately, if you're working, there is another, there's that other source of, a place where, again, as you say, a place where people get together and congregate. And I think companies are the next frontier in terms of educating employees about financial wellness. I'll tell you, when I recruit people or even sort of trying to manage, you know, when people want to leave the company and so on, or whatever, all this, you know, sort of trying to figure out what people want. A lot of the time, 70% sometimes of the conversation is about, look, it's about money, right? I need to leave because I need to earn more because my expenses are so, it's like this. I have a parent to take care of. I need to earn more money. And I've been there before. I've been there where, you know, I needed to, you know, sort of say no to certain jobs because I wanted to earn more so that I can provide. And I think so if we could, and there's nothing more stressful for an employee who's, you can tell someone who's not fully at work as far as the mind's concerned, when, you know, when they're worried about money, right? And I think you can see that they're not concentrating, and they're feeling like they're tense, and actually in the extreme situation, when you have a situation like that, something's going to break, right? Sometimes even to the point of illegality. You know, that's sometimes when, you know, in Singapore at least, we hear a lot of people having gambling debts and all that. And what do they do? They raid the company coffers to pay for the gambling debt. So, right. So I think really it's about sort of for us trying to embark on this with the Financial Planning Association of Malaysia, offering employers the ability to educate and to raise the financial wellness of employees. I think that's a worthwhile undertaking for 2020.
There you go, folks. Watch your finances. You heard it from Malik himself. Beyond that, though, what message would you like to leave our listeners with, you know, as we prepare to greet the new year?
I think if I think 2020 has taught us what to be to appreciate what we have. I think there's a lot of us sort of trying to earn that pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. But actually, sometimes when we're chasing those things, we forget with what we have right in front of us, and right in front of us, our family, our friends. And our little pleasures in life. I mean, I just had a roti canai this morning, right? Mm. And to me, it's the best roti canai in Singapore. and it cost me, $8 for two of us, right? And you know, and to me, that those little pleasures, are the best. I don't have to go to that 5-star restaurant. I really don't. I really just need to go for that roti canai.
You're going to start a food riot on after you get off the line.
Yeah, I didn't say it's the best place.
Food debate. Yes.
riot.
Malik, with that, it's so, it's lovely to hear from you after so long, and thanks for joining us this evening. And happy New Year.
Happy New Year, happy Israel, Happy New Year, Cam. Take care, man.
That, of course, was Malik Ali, the founder of BFM Media. We're going to get to your messages that are coming in. We've been asking you what's something positive that's come out of 2020. What are your hopes for 2021? You can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
5:54 on the evening edition with Hezrul and Cam. That was the Beatles.
The Beatles with Twist and Shout.
Yes,
we are deliberately trying to find music that's sort of happy, happy party, party to prepare us for the new year.
Exactly. There we go. Yeah. Although you'll be in bed by 10:30 though.
I hope so.
So yeah.
That's a winning new year for me.
Well, anyways, folks, we've been asking you what's positive from 2020. What are your hopes for the new year? And we've got lots of messages. We'll start with Kuz from WhatsApp, who says, "Good thing we got to spend more time with family." And I think, yeah, and that's certainly something that I appreciated this year.
Yep. And we also have one, it's a nice message here on Twitter from A Wind of Change.
Oh.
I don't think that's his given name. My second child was born today. Coincidentally, the same birthday as my wife.
Congrats. Mm. That's, wow. Talk about the stars aligning. Let's see. We've got, this one from Irshad on Twitter, who says, "Discovering that a plant-based diet is actually feasible. And just have to make a gradual switch."
Don't do it. It's not worth it. It's really not worth it. This one, I quite like this one. I'm not quite sure I fully understand it. From CK, the Wasted Guy. Again, I don't think that's his given name. Run a lot more this year with all the stresses. So much so that I now know that I can lose weight easily. So I ate and drank more as well. As of today, I don't think I can. I've lost any weight. It's considered a good thing, right? So I think what he's saying is that he's learned that he can exercise. Therefore, it's in his power to lose weight.
Right.
Therefore, he has the freedom to eat as much as he wants.
So basically, maintained his weight.
Or even put on, because he knows he yeah. can take it off. He knows he can do it.
That's just interesting. We've also got, let's see. Well, on a positive note, Jamal says, tweeted, learn how to unlearn and relearn. Massive shifts in building personal relationships, significant growth opportunities, becoming hashtag human again, and coaching people and leaders how to communicate and connect with a human-centric approach was my biggest breakthrough.
Yeah. I think a lot of us have probably every year in, year out, we change with every year. But this year, 2020, we, all of us around the world, experienced the same crisis. And we had choices. And I think that we changed in perhaps more profound ways, sometimes more profound ways than we actually realize ourselves. We will, if we survive this pandemic, and if we, our family and friends survive it, then I think that we will look back on this time as a time when we, when there was a reset. Someone here says, "I learned to reset."
Yeah,
and there wasn't, there has been, and I think that we will look back on this as a time when we learned new things, and I hope we take that opportunity.
Yeah, I hope so. I certainly hope so.
If I can just point out one thing, when we had Malik Ali, your boss, by the way, you were not sitting up straight. He mentioned something which is in my mind. Nothing to do with what we're talking about. He said, "Roti canai." In Singapore,
yes,
eight Sing dollars. Is it? Did I hear that right?
If I'm not mistaken, that's what I heard.
I mean, that's like the mortgage.
Although he did say, "I'm glad to pay two Sing dollars for roti canai." So I'm not sure if it's like one each or he had a few extra that totaled into eight. But yeah, I was wondering if Malik was trying to start a food debate riot here at BFM. Yeah. Look at this one. Well, I'm very happy for Zach Wen, who tweeted in, I got full-fledged employment after 3 years of working on Sammilan Harian basis, where you get paid by the day. I've now got higher pay and no longer dread public holidays.
Oh, congratulations. Well done. That's good. Yeah. That's good news.
For sure. And, keep sending your messages. What positive thing has happened to you in 2020 amid, the doom and gloom? What are your hopes for 2021? You can call us at 7733-2900, WhatsApp 0187898899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. After the 6 o'clock news, we're going to look at the ways that our country, our fellow Malaysians have come together to see each other through this pandemic, through the Kita Jaga Kita movement. So stay tuned for that here on the Evening Edition BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.